I know you're out there. I can feel you now. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. I'm going to show them a world without you. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Ike Feldman, Isaac Feldman, or as Suffolk County knows me as, Gary Feldman. And Gary Feldman is on site of Maxim Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, a gym that was the best academy, best school. I don't have a master's or a doctorate, but I at least got an associate's degree from Maxim BJJ, and it was because of this professor. My dude, Professor Alex Aristides, a Sarah Jiu-Jitsu black belt, entrepreneur, and life coach. You can follow Alex on Instagram, the_Alex_experiment, and his wonderful facility at MaximBJJ and MaximBJJ.com.
Actually, Maxim_BJJ.
On Insta? Instagram. At Maxim_BJJ. First mistake. We're starting with the point system. I'm at a 99. Hopefully, I have a passing grade. Professor Alex, what's up, brother?
What's going on?
I'm doing
a mistake. I have a looks like I have a penis in my hand right here. I mean, this is. We're at 98% right now.
We should do the penis podcast where we all just keep the mics in our groin area. But
I'm surprised I have pants on right now.
This is the guy who taught me jiu-jitsu, but more importantly about life. He's like a big brother for me, and let's dive right in. Alex,
Maxim after dark.
Yeah, do you find yourself in the mentor role, man? For me, you were kind of like a big brother in a sense that you literally physically kicked my ass on the mats, but also mentally you kind of strengthened me with the vicarious life experience that you passed down. And we don't have to get into the many stories. Maybe one day he'll write a book, but do you ever find yourself in the mentor role?
I've always tried to say no, but it seems yes. But it's a mixed emotion, because some say it's a good thing. Others say
it worked out.
Yeah, well, you might have been a good thing. Others say it's I'm this screwed up with girls and all this stuff because of you. So it depends on what it was I talked to them about.
What about the positive sides?
I like it. When I was younger, it was kind of awkward and weird, but I guess now that I'm getting older and being a dad, and I'm just kind of like, here, everyone's my children,
And,
then I can't take my pants off, because then it gets creepy.
It is daytime, but that's never stopped Alex. Seriously. But you mentioned your dad. What has fatherhood meant to you?
I didn't really have a good home life, so I try to do things a little differently with my kids. But when my kids were younger, I wasn't really around much, because I was building my business, I was traveling all the place competing, and I missed a lot of their youth. But, as I've settled down, love my boys, man. My little guy's in the mat all the time, like me. My big guy is, plays music like me, and then they both do all the other crazy shit I do, like snowboarding and skating and all this stuff. And they're like little buddies, they're awesome.
I remember them being on the mats years ago.
Yeah, they would be like little babies, like color it and stuff. And you guys would be traded.
How'd you, was it just, okay, it's my time to watch the kids, they're here with me? Or, because you hear baseball dads, soccer moms, like maybe they're a little intense with the sport they want their child to pursue. You're a lifelong martial artist, a black belt, a competitor in many senses of the word, in the cage, on the mats, every day in the gym. How was it bringing your kids to martial arts and not forcing it on them? Like, was it just...
No, I forced it on them.
Okay.
No, I wanted them to grow up around it. They were crawling around a mat at Coach Matt Sarah's place, too, when they were little. My older guy was. And, no, but I wanted them to. I wanted them to just kind of be there, because then they'll naturally kind of gravitate towards it. Was I a little bit nutty of a wrestling dad in the beginning? Oh, hells yeah. I destroyed probably my older son with combat sports. But he's been training a little bit again, nice. Which is awesome. But he's going here to Berklee School of Music, so he's going to be on a tour bus and a rock star. So,
wow.
Yeah, we'll save his fingers and hands. He doesn't get broken in jiu-jitsu. But, I was even crazy, my little guy. I've toned it down over the years, just coaching for so many freaking years. And a lot of the wrestling and jiu-jitsu dads out there are psychotic. And they don't know to tone it back because they haven't been on a mat since they were in high school. And I think a lot of parents, with every sport, just because you played a high school sport doesn't make you a professional coach. And if you can't do it today, I see these dads who are fat, bald, out of shape with a beer belly who can't do a push-up, but yet they're yelling at their kid to get down there and do more. Let me see your fat ass do it. And that's something I think that, and even a lot of the kids I coach, I'll get on the mat with you. I don't care if I'm 60. I'll still get out there and I'll still kick your ass, like I tell my kids. But that's the problem. If a lot of these guys still were out there and able to swing a bat at the appropriate level, still able to throw a ball at the appropriate level, still able to lift a weight, still able to get in a mat and wrestle, whatever the sport may be, you might have a leg to stand on. And I laugh when people are like, oh, he did this in high school. That's great, Al Bundy. Still do it. Show your kids the right example.
100%. During my time living in Brooklyn, I went to a boxing gym, and you have this huge meatball sitting on a chair in a corner telling these young prospects who, I think they were fighting for PBC or some low-level on Barclays Center cards, but you have this huge meatball guy saying, yeah, give me 10, give me 20, and he's like, it's an effort to breathe, but again, we're being joined by @the_Alex_experiment and @Maxim_BJJ on Instagram. This is an amazing facility that you built. How'd you make becoming a gym owner, how'd you make it become manifested? Like, how is it just, it was an opportunity, you love martial arts, or was this always a plan growing up?
I have no idea. No.
He's very intelligent. Don't let him fool you.
It's like everything. That's the other side of me. Even though getting hit in the head and choked, I'm a bit of a nerd. But it's like when my ex-wife, left her job, came home, told me she was pregnant. We just closed on a house, and I walked out of my job. Like, I think it was all like the same day. And I went in business for myself. And she was like, what? And I was like, what? You just got no choice at that point. Your back's against the wall. So the same thing when I opened the gym was, I don't know if you remember this, but I got divorced right when I opened the gym. I walked away from my other business with my partners.
Okay.
I had nothing. I actually slept in the gym floor the first week I got divorced. And, so I started a new business. I started a new business also at being the gym. Divorced with two little babies. Kind of backs against the wall, so you just get it done.
Wow. I always say Strong Island is like the top perfect mixture of the smartest people. You get the Gatsby, the Vanderbilts, the Moses, and then the toughest people. With I heard, I think it's is it Michael Murphy from Patchogue, the guy that did the Lone Survivor. And then you have another tough, smart SOB and Alex. That's crazy, man. So, what are now over a decade down the road? How's it been being a gym owner? Like,
it's more than that now.
2009. Okay, I was one of the first then.
Yeah. You were the
maybe guy. I was one of the first blue belts.
Yeah, you were in the early days, man. You really were. That was the crazy place too, across the train station. I had guys walking in, I'm like fighting them in the streets. It's
like everybody's in the UFC or military or knows combat, and you're like, okay, guy.
Yeah. Oh no, we had a lot of kooky people coming off the train station.
Great word.
You know, they'd come off and they'd be like, yo. You know, walking in, they didn't train. They were just, you know, probably drunk coming off the train, and it was crazy over there.
And that's what I love about you. Not only your physical prowess, the work that you put in on the mats, but how much you tend to soak up life. Dude, I didn't even know the backstory about your intro to the gym. It's like you've always had the grin, the smile, the look. It's like that's kind of what you want your leader to look like. And maybe you should run for governor or president, right?
I don't know if they did a background check. That would work, you know. I've done a lot of bad things in my life. No, I'm
kidding. But the personality, man. And I just remember this as I was driving over. It's one of the last notes. You did freaking stand-up comedy. Yeah, you were in a band playing Rage Against the Machine. If we could dig up some videos to put going along with this, no chance. But, dude, where do you get the balls to do stand-up comedy and freaking be in a band? That's pretty intense.
I will tell you that I will go in a ring on a mat. I'll get up on stage and, you know, sing. I will, you know, I've done a lot of public speaking over the years in my other businesses. You know, in trainings and things like that, I will do any of that, any day, easier than stand-up comedy. That is the scariest, hardest thing. And anybody, like people, you see some people like tackling Dave Chappelle and all this stuff. That guy should probably have his head kicked in against the back wall of the club.
Look like it.
But people need to respect that. That is one of the hardest things to do. Is to make a bunch of strangers laugh. I make people, everyone's like, oh, you're the funny guy. But that's because all you guys know me, and you guys know my demeanor. So the screwed up things I say, everyone's like, oh, it's Alex.
We know the punchline is coming, maybe? Like, we know something's coming?
Well, you also know something completely obnoxious and you know, line crossing is coming out of my mouth. You do that in front of the wrong crowd, forget it. You know, it's crickets. That is the hardest job, you know, I think, when it comes to, like, being in front of the public. That was scary as hell. And I only did three gigs. And
that's pretty good.
But I can't now. I would never do stand-up comedy nowadays because everybody's so hypersensitive. They're triggered.
Right. Triggered.
Triggered, woke, all these things. And you just make the slightest little joke about somebody or something, and everyone gets all offended because everybody doesn't have thick skin anymore. You know, nowadays, if you don't glorify all the issues in this world, parades and all the BS, there wouldn't be so much separation. But the media makes a lot of separation, so everybody's so hypersensitive because everybody glorifies. Right? Not Gary. Gary doesn't do that. But everybody glorifies all these subcultures instead of just letting it be one culture. And that's why everybody's the way they are. And that's why you can't make a joke about anything.
Would you ever consider getting back on the stage again or doing a podcast, something that is like a public's way to hear your thoughts? Because, again, I think you're one of the funniest, most well-spoken guy who has experiences, like unequivocal experiences.
If you want to call them that, I got some wacky stories. I don't know if I can tell all of them, though. I might incriminate some people, you know. I wasn't supposed to be there with you that night. You know, or don't tell my wife. I would, all the guys are like, we should do a podcast here. I'm like, I totally would. You know, I just don't, you know, there's a lot that goes into all that stuff too. I'd have to do it with somebody, but I would, you know, especially now as I've gotten, getting more time in my life, you know, I could do something like that, you know, and a podcast,
little different than stand-up comedy. I can kind of say whatever the hell I want. You don't like it, don't listen to it.
It's true. Somebody told me, this media expert, he says, don't put how you feel on Twitter. That's print. I go, but I say worse stuff on a recording. He goes, yeah, but nobody listens. I was like, okay, you're okay.
Well, you can see how many people listen, can't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. They'll be like, yeah, bullshit. Lots of people do
listen. It's like, I guess if you put a quote in print, it's just 10 times worse, I guess. Your class is about to start. I really appreciate the time. So really quickly, what are your goals for the next year, 5 years, and 10 years?
Well.
You're a Renaissance man.
My goals have recently very much changed. So in 2 years when my son was graduating, I was going to do X, Y, and Z. And now that's somewhat changed. It's a new person in my life. So now it's ABC. But now just continuing to grow my other businesses, you know, and, you know, this place, and, you know, just try to, I'm not competing anymore, and just live a little bit more normal, and, you know, have enjoy life, enjoy my kids. My kids are getting older, you know. I like to see my kids in college and visit them, and, you know, help them and things like that, and, you know, be with my girl, and, you know, kind of be a normal human, and starving myself and competing and being so much of a workaholic. I'm just trying to tone it down a little.
And Alex Aristides, Professor Alex Aristides.
No. Coach. America, baby.
Oh, I thought people like the professor word.
They do. It's like people like to be called sensei in this country. It's like how people like to be called, they like to be bowed to. Bowing in the Asian culture is how they shake hands. If you shake someone's hand in the Asian culture, it's weird. So they've taken that out of context in America, I feel. Just like the whole sensei, or when you call an American professor. You're not Brazilian. So it's, America has always been referred to as your coach, your wrestling coach, or jiu-jitsu coach, or football coach, or, you know, and no disrespect to the other cultures, but people take that out of context for their own ego. Bow to me. I want no man bowing to me. I have no respect for you if you bow to me. Shake my hand. Tell me about your day. Tell me about your family. No man needs to bow to another man. No other man is your master. That's like, what are we in slave days? You know, it's absurd.
Wow. You heard it here from Coach Alex Sarah, jiu-jitsu black belt, entrepreneur, Renaissance man, life coach, @the_Alex_experiment, @Maxim_BJJ. Last thing, if you don't mind. Where do you see martial arts? What do you feel, if more people practiced or jumped into the martial arts pool, what would it do for the world? And where do you see martial arts, UFC, MMA being in 10 years?
Well, I'll tell you, before I did this, I probably would have been in jail or dead when I was 18, 19. Literally. That's why I actually came back to New York. And because of doing this, cleaned my whole life up. And I wouldn't have all the things I have today and live where I live and been all over the place and experience what I have without it. But I also think that, especially our military, our police force, everybody should be trained extensively, not only just to protect themselves, and it's also very stressful positions, the things those people have to see and endure, also kind of give them a little escape too. It's good mentally for all of our law enforcement, our military, and all those people that put their lives on the line every day for us in this country. But, you know, and even the everyday person too, you know, people are stressed with their kids, their work, their spouse, and stuff like that. It's a nice escape. It's a different environment. It's different than going to the gym.
I always say, you can't think of your schedule while somebody's trying to choke you.
That's right. But even that, though, like, people go to the gym, it's not the same. The vibe in a gym, you're by yourself, the people there, everybody's eyeballing you, and everyone's very vain and flexing in the mirror. Good and they want to be tough guys. When you come here, you have every walk of life on the mat, everyone's laughing, and it's a good environment, it's a good escape, and it just helps level your life, helps you be healthy, things like that, which all in turn, you know, help every day of your life.
And where do you see the sport of martial arts or martial arts in general in 10 years?
Oh, my God. I mean, MMA is just, that is the professional sport right now. I mean,
I think it's going to be bigger than soccer.
I think so, too. It's an international thing, just like soccer. It is, it's the original sport. I mean, it's pancration from Greece. That's where it all came from. I don't care what anybody says. You know, you look at, you know, the Greeks, they invented boxing, they invented, you know, hand-to-hand combat.
Boxing?
Yep.
I thought it was just wrestling.
Boxing started in Greece, so did pancration, which is where wrestling came from, and submission grappling. And submission grappling, when they invaded Asia, or Persia, I should say, I'm sorry, obviously, that influenced Asia. And if you look at the history books of judo, the guard and things like that were to counter Western wrestling. So the original submission grappling started there, in Greece. And it's been around since the dawn of time, which was done for the military. Which is how, this is why I say that first responders and that should always, you know, learn to train. But, you know, it's a worldwide, it's the original sport. You know, wrestling was like the first sport in the Olympics. So all these things are just, it's going to be the biggest sport. And I think Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, because of amazing guys like Gordon Ryan and stuff, are putting Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu as a major sport. And you know, and I got to say, like, that's almost single-handedly from that guy Gordon Ryan.
Weird it's not in the Olympics. They have freaking, they just added karate. Well,
they added, there's been talk about it now. I think it's getting added. And you know what? Someone like a Gordon Ryan would get that there. And it's made the sport tremendous. And Joe Rogan also with the support of it and things like that. I think between those two guys, I think you'll see Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu or just submission grappling. You've been seeing super fights at wrestling really getting popular. And I think it's amazing. I mean, I wish I was younger, you know. And it's nice to know that, you know, someone like a Gordon Ryan is from our, you know, lineage, our team, you know, because I train with Danaher and Henzo and, you know, well, obviously Matt, my coach. But, yeah, I mean, it's that's one of the futures right there.
Well said. I expected that. Well said. Funny. I don't know. You're the man, Alex. Coach Alex. Brother Alex. I really appreciate the time and congrats on your previous success and your continued success.
Thanks, man. You too, brother.